Hey guys, nice to see you again. I hope you're having a good weekend. I know for some of you it's already Sunday, and the rest of us it's Saturday, and hope you had a good week. Some interesting things going on during the week this week leading up to the weekend. And before we get into them, which is in just a second here, I want to remind you, because we're already having signs that we're getting attacked on some of the major platforms. Make a note of brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. That's Brighteon, brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. It's better to write it down now or type it in somewhere instead of just finding us totally gone, because we're being heavily shadow banned already, and the view counters are completely suppressed and little things like that. And we're banned from live streaming on some of the channels. So Brighteon is a non-censoring site started by our friend Mike at great expense of his own money, and to get it more support and let them make enough money through their advertising and things, it's good to watch videos there, and especially ours, brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. In the meantime, there were three things that I was going to talk about that happened this week that I made a couple little notes that they tell us a lot about what's going on in the world and what are the two possible kinds of future that we might be headed for. And I personally have a big preference for one of those two. The first two of the three events tell us about the power structure and how it's controlled the world and to what degree and the extent of the so-called conspiracy. And you know that after Kennedy's death, John Kennedy, there was a term invented by, most people would say CIA, and or I'm sorry, FBI, and it was to make everybody look like an idiot who thought there were more than one, that there was more than one person involved in killing John Kennedy, which it turned out was absolutely true. But at the time, they wanted to use the Warren Commission and anything else they could to obscure what really happened. So they invented this term to shame people that would question the official narrative. And that term, that phrase, was conspiracy theorist. And it worked so well, making everybody make fun of the conspiracy theorists that were actually doing serious investigation, that they kept using it. And it's even used now all over the place by all the criminal media that we have in this country and most of the world. And it's very successful. It was a great achievement of the psychologists working for the deep state. And it's now used all over the media for anybody that thinks anything that we're not allowed to think. Anyway, the first two of the three events that I was going to talk about give kind of a window into the extent of the real conspiracy, in spite of the fact that you're not supposed to believe in any conspiracy, I guess, except bank robbers, right? They can have conspiracies when a bunch of them decide to rob the same bank. That's a believable conspiracy, but nothing else. And those kind of conspiracies are the ones from the old Popeye cartoons and everything, where the bank robbers would all end up falling in a pile, you know, by Popeye knocking them all out, and they got these X's in their eyes and everything. That was a conspiracy, and everybody thinks that's okay. But anything done by government, which is there to protect and serve you, is not allowed to think, you know, think about at all. So, I guess that power structure that we're talking about, it's not a recent phenomenon. It's been in control of most of the world for all of recent history that I know about, going back, you know, recent 10 or 15,000 years, something like that, maybe a lot longer. So the first two give a window into that, and the third development that we're going to talk about gives a glimpse of how things could get a lot better. A lot better. I mean, as good as the global rulers want to make them bad, it could go completely in the opposite direction. And it's totally all in your hands, which they don't want you to know for sure. That's a conspiracy theory, I guess, too. So they could get much better, as I was just saying, if we start breaking out of our hypnosis and begin the process of finding out who we actually are. And I've looked at a lot of these so-called conspiracy theories and the real conspiracy and all the different departments of it, and how they're all coordinated, how they fit together, where they're going, and why. And the biggest, there's a lot of taboos, which means things that you're not supposed to know about, like the fact that alternative energies that are free and clean, the technologies for those were perfected more than 100 years ago, and they've been available all that time, and they're just being suppressed by violence and murder. You're not supposed to. So just assume I, you know, obviously didn't say that, because that's a taboo, and there's a lot of them like that. That the countries don't have to be fighting with each other. You don't have to hate people who have different skin color, different amounts of money, different gender. That's not necessary. In fact, it's really dumb for us to fall for that stuff, but we do. And bigger than all those taboos of finding out those things, the truth about them and about geoengineering and all the rest of it, and about the germ theory and about drug medicine and toxic agriculture and all that stuff that you're not ever supposed to question or much less understand, much bigger than those taboos is the taboo of ever finding out who you are. And I mean you personally, not humanity in general, although that is part of it too. But here I'm talking about just you, as if you're the only one listening to this broadcast on the planet. It's just you. And that's the biggest secret. And as long as they can keep you hypnotized and take in all of your worldviews and ideas about reality and about yourself from the major corporate criminal media that I call them, then there's no danger that you'll ever find out who you are. But if you start to question everything, which is the basis of real science, not, you know, science has degenerated now into quoting acceptable information, and the real information is hidden and shredded and, you know, never talked about by the mainstream anyway. Real science is never settled on anything. It's always questioning what's thought, and it says, well, maybe our latest theory, what we think is real, what if it's not? What if there's something else going on? And real science says, well, maybe this could be happening, or this can be happening, and let's set up a test in the outside world or in a lab or both and find out, you know, if our theory is true. That's science, and that's one of the taboos. But the biggest one, as I said, is your identity, and you can't figure it out by looking at your driver's license. I'm talking about your real identity. So talking openly about these things, going right to what I have found to be the biggest secret, is getting increasingly risky, as you may have noticed. The censorship issue is one of the big ones. And as I said, we're already being shadow banned on the major platforms. We're still here today, which I'm grateful for, but write down brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. And they'll have live streaming, I think, soon, but for the moment, they at least let us post everything there, and they're completely committed to non-censoring. So if you watch us there, you won't lose track. It's a small new platform, but hopefully it'll get bigger than all the major ones if you take the time to go and use it. And there's no cost. You just watch whatever you want to watch over there. Or if you're a content creator, post it there, and that supports them too. So before you forget, you know, as I say, stay in touch. Oh, also, go over to Lost Arts Radio and get on the mailing list. And we're not really using it for anything right now. It's just that if we, for some reason, couldn't reach you through any of the normal channels, we might be able to embed videos in emails or otherwise get information sent to you without barriers. And we would have no idea how to do that unless you sign up for that mailing list. So that's at lostartsradio.com. And I told you about Brighteon. I'm just looking through my notes here. So the first of the three things, we'll get right into the actual material that I wanted to share with you this time. The first of the three major news events, you could probably guess, it's been all over the news on in many countries of the world, and that's the death of Jeffrey Epstein, this major personality in the child trafficking rings and operating, procuring little kids for blackmail purposes and all kinds of nasty stuff. And he was put in prison, supposedly in a secure place in a federal facility, and got killed, which is almost impossible. I mean, the room is set up, especially for people on and off of suicide watch. There's nothing in there that you can kill yourself with, obviously. And you're put with a cellmate who can watch as well and make sure that you don't do anything unusual. Plus, they have constant visits by guards, and you know, people have access to that. And then they have everything on video 24 hours a day. Obviously, you would do that with backups in case anything ever malfunctions, which is unlikely. So there was a release by the government of, I think it was 2,000 pages of documents that showed a lot of the information of who was involved with Epstein, and not just President Clinton, but a lot of other high-up government officials, state governors, people like that, people in the British royal family. A lot of celebrity types were his clients, and some people were pretty shocked by that, but the depth of that kind of thing in the power structure is beyond what most people can even imagine. And so the day after that, after he had already reported that somebody had tried to kill him, he was killed in his cell. And just by coincidence, they took out his cellmate, sent him somewhere else right before that. They told all the guards for his particular section that night to go home early, no problem, don't worry about what doing your job or anything like that, just go home. And they turned off the video recorders because they're saying they all malfunctioned, which is almost zero probability. And right when all those things happened, somebody came into his cell, which obviously they had cooperation from the people within the jail, or they couldn't have done that, and murdered him, and he was taken out. And you know, it's kind of amazing to me that the level of naivete of the federal government thinking that he would be safe in there. Even they don't understand the depth of the real conspiracy. I mean, do you think it's just a coincidence that conspiracy is something you're absolutely not supposed to believe in? Why do you think that would be? Well, obviously, because the conspiracy is so big that if you start thinking about it, you're going to see it, you know, all over the place. And apparently even the people, the president and the other people who could have put him in some more secure location, were too naive to realize the reach of the real conspiracy. And so apparently it got to him. There's a lot of people theorizing about, well, maybe he was taken out and put in a safe place and some other person was put in there who kind of looked like him, and they faked the whole thing. I don't know that that didn't happen, and it's certainly conceivable what really happened. Maybe will be found out. I mean, the Attorney General has now said he started an investigation of it already, which is a good sign. And we'll see what happens. But that was the first of the three events that I was going to mention to you. And it was right after these 2,000 pages of documents exposed all of these major leaders that have been involved, not the president of the United States, current president, whose name is forbidden to mention too, if you don't want to get banned, in a positive way anyway. He wasn't involved. And yet the media is still trying to implicate him anyway. I mean, they don't really care about what actually happened. They just want everyone to hate the president. That's been their main campaign, them and in America, the Democratic Party is completely in collusion with the media, the criminal media. And they're saying, yeah, it must be the president. I mean, he was responsible for the whole thing. He was responsible for the murder of the guy in jail. Basically, anything happens bad in the world, he's responsible for it. And they've been saying that kind of thing since he decided to start running for office in the beginning. But the reason he had to be killed by the deep state, Epstein, is because obviously he could testify to the fact that everybody from presidents on down who was involved, what they did, he took them to his island, which was known for sex trafficking and sex with really small kids, possibly much worse, maybe murdering kids. And Epstein had all the information. So he could have plea bargained for turning everybody in for a shorter sentence, which probably was in progress. And he could incriminate large numbers of influential people worldwide in all kinds of serious crimes, so he had to be killed. But what's so amazing that even in a secure federal facility with plenty of guards and constant video monitoring, a cell designed to make suicide pretty impossible, this happened anyway. And it just shows that the conspiracy has, the real conspiracy that you're never supposed to imagine is real, has seeped into all levels of control in corporations and government agencies and federal facilities and jails and prisons and all kinds of things. And that's why he was set up, you know, the order was given by somebody with real authority to the prison guards to go home and the video cameras turned off and all this kind of stuff. So he was alone in the dark, and the other inmates heard struggling and screaming, and unlikely that, you know, he was moved, it seems to me, but well, I guess we'll find out more in the coming weeks and months. But none of it, there's no video evidence that anybody can get a hold of. So the question is, what does that whole incredible drama imply? And it gives just a glimpse into the world and the real extent of the control grid in America, not the one that's official, but the one that's really in control. In America, supposedly a free country that everybody's looking at for inspiration, like even the, well, we'll talk about this later, but many of the populist leaders that are arising in other countries are looking to America for inspiration, like, you know, that we're overcoming the deep state and all this conspiracy stuff is exposed and ended, and right in the middle of our supposedly free country based on unalienable God-given rights of all the people, not just Americans, but anybody living in any country, according to the American Declaration of Independence. It's not just about Americans, it's about everybody. And it says that all your rights are unalienable. They can never be taken away by some supranational agency or world government or national government. You still have them. They might not be safe to exercise. You know, don't try it at home in your country if you're living under a tyranny, and exercising your real rights will get you in trouble or killed. But what the Declaration of Independence was saying is that everyone has those rights. And basically what the rights come down to is freedom to live and speak and believe and act any way you want, as long as it's not taking away the rights of others. You know, like if your belief says everybody who disagrees with you should be killed, like some well-known religions actually believe that, you can't do that. That's not freedom. But within your own sphere, without taking away the rights of others or stealing their property or trespassing on their land or anything like that, you can live the way that you want to, work the way that you want to, believe whatever you want, and have free speech. Really critical. Even, by the way, even if it's not nice, acceptable speech that everybody likes, the thing about the kind of the test of free speech is the ability to say something that no one agrees with and everybody thinks is terrible. The whole idea of hate speech laws is completely un-American, unconstitutional. You know, free speech is free speech. Otherwise, as soon as you fall for the trap of hate speech, it usually starts out with some nefarious government saying, oh, there's a really terrible person over there. He shouldn't be able to advocate killing everybody, which is probably true. And they say, well, that's hate speech. Okay, seems reasonable. But then the government says, okay, they fell for that. Now let's do the next step and the next step and the next step. And pretty soon anything that they decide is politically incorrect to say is now defined as hate speech. And free speech is over. And the amendments to the Constitution are still there, saying that you can say what you want. And these elements in the deep state, meaning the part of the government that's not easily visible, they trick you into saying, well, yeah, you have free speech, you just can't say these unacceptable things, because it's really bad for everybody if you're allowed to say that. Well, how could we fall for that? That means there's no free speech. But that's exactly what they're doing. So they're calling everything hate speech. Some really simple things that nobody would imagine a sane person that would be forbidden are forbidden, and you can go to prison. And it's happening especially in Europe right now, and it's coming to America. It's coming everywhere. It's already is in existence in a lot of places. And people have argued against it who have been arrested for it and say, well, but I was just quoting out of a book or a scripture or something like that that shows what's written in the book. And the corrupt government would say, well, okay, we need a new category for things that you're not allowed to say. Let's call it hate facts. One of our guests was on the show talking about that a few months ago. And it's like, I think Orwell would have been really happy if he, George Orwell, if he had waited, you know, a little bit longer to write his book, 1984, he'd probably call it 2084 or something instead. But I don't think he ever got the idea of hate facts. It was brilliant. It means even if you can prove what you say was true, even if you're quoting a third party and what they say is true, you can't say it anyway because it's hate facts. And who gets to define hate facts? The people who are the influential ones in defining political correctness. And then the government just goes along with it. The reason the government goes along with it, besides the fact that many of them are just unconscious zombies, the ones who aren't, is that there's corporate power behind these non-governmental influencers that are deciding what's politically correct. They're just not ordinary people off the street. They're backed by massive financial interests. And those same financial interests have blackmail on the people in government and industry, so they just go along with it. So the acceptable language keeps shrinking. So, like Eisenhower warned about, and like Kennedy warned about, John Kennedy, before he was killed, there really is a deep state or shadow government. It really doesn't matter at all what you call it. Don't argue over words. That's another big trap that is supposed to distract you from what's really going on. What you call it is not what matters. It's what those words refer to that matters, whatever is the reality. John Kennedy called it a monolithic conspiracy. See, they didn't have the word conspiracy theorist at the time that he was giving that speech. So he wasn't forbidden from saying that. And he said, there's a monolithic conspiracy and it's viciously controlling the whole world and it's going to be spreading. And Eisenhower warned about the same thing. Then Kennedy got killed by that same conspiracy that he was warning about. And he had flaws and, as you know, personal flaws and blind spots and misconceptions. He had some socialist ideas that were pretty crazy, as well as character issues in his personal life that some of you guys know about. But that wasn't the issue for the deep state. The issue was that they considered him an enemy because, can you guess why? It wasn't any specific thing he knew about. It was that he sincerely wanted to help his country. He wanted to see America become really a great place to be, very prosperous, more free, everything great about it. Not because, see, we're given this idea by the criminal media that if you want your country to be great, that means you hate everybody else. That's really dumb, you guys. Nobody would believe that with any kind of conscious state at all. I mean, Kennedy didn't want America to be great because he hated some other country. I mean, who would even think of that? People who twist words, right? Propaganda experts. But he wanted to help his country, and just like everybody in every country should want to help their country, not merge it into a world conglomerate government where nobody has a say and it's just, you know, homogeneous and everybody's culture is lost. That's not a good idea at all. It may be more efficient from the tyrant's point of view, but it's a really, you know, really bad idea for the people living in the world. So John Kennedy wanted to help his country. That's why he had to die. And he was curious. He was digging into many areas of information that he didn't have authorization from the real power to look at. Things that you wouldn't even believe, most of you. Things that people consider so fringe that they can't be true. He was looking into things like that, and it got him murdered by the same deep state that would like to destroy the current president, and for exactly the same reason. It's not because he's a bad person. Kennedy wasn't a bad person at all. That's why they wanted him dead. They need a bad person in there because bad people can be controlled through blackmail and bribes. Sincere people who want to help their country in any country of the world are really hard to control with money and bribes and threats and stuff like that. And Kennedy was one of those. The current president's another one. Lots of flaws, lots of misunderstandings. He's not too bright about 5G and GMOs and chemical agriculture and drug medicine and a lot, bunch of other stuff. But his spirit is like with Kennedy and with Washington and Jefferson and Jackson that he really admires. And that's what they want to eliminate. So after Kennedy was murdered, the FBI invented the term conspiracy theorist to discourage you from making and encourage people to make fun of anybody that thought he was killed by more than one person, and it's used all over the place now. You're supposed to think that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only one who killed Kennedy, and that was very far from the truth. There are a lot of famous people were involved in that conspiracy. So he was murdered to keep him quiet, and in other countries the style varies, but the same monolithic control that JFK warned about is now all over the world and in charge of pretty much all of it. Different styles, though, as I said. In America, they make believe they're swearing allegiance to the Constitution, and they put their hand up and everything and swear it, and then they break the oath immediately in most cases. It's not a good situation. And as the founders in America warned, there is no system that will make up for the fact that your population is not ethical and, I think, what they call educated at that time. Nowadays, education's gone anyway. But when America was founded, they had some real education going on, and they were quite literate. You read Washington's letters and things like that. They could actually talk in amazing ways, sentence structure, and put together complex thoughts. Compared to now, you know, when things are not as conscious in a lot of ways. So styles vary. Styles of tyranny are varying all over the world, but it's the same monolithic control that Kennedy talked about that's over all of them. So taking another country at random, for example, let's see, what about China? The style is different. Yoga practitioners and people who speak out too much against government are arrested, and they just cut out their organs and sell them for medical use and before they're killed, which is an efficient, really good, profitable way to work on torturing and killing the citizens and trying to chill anybody who's got an idea that they might, you know, go against the rulers. And the citizens are tracked anywhere they go. Any Chinese citizen within minutes, according to the government, there can be located. And they know all about their transactions, and they give them a social credit score, which you may have heard about, that is on track for being used in the United States and already is to some extent. And anybody that doesn't have acceptable beliefs and behaviors gets a really bad social score, and their lives get shut down. They have a hard time working or traveling or having a bank account or anything like that. Those policies are being tried out successfully in China right now, but they're planned for all over the world. China's been in the news this week, so I didn't really choose them at random, and it's because Chinese troops look like they're ready to invade Hong Kong. Maybe Taiwan later too, but Hong Kong is in their sights right now. In fact, they're right over the border from Hong Kong with massive military presence. And you know, Hong Kong, a lot of people don't really understand what Hong Kong is. Hong Kong was a British possession, and it got handed over to Chinese control in 1997 with the idea that for 50 years they would be a separate system. They'd have their own laws, which they do. And, you know, no big changes there when the British handed it over. And it's become very profitable and very prosperous because of the degree of freedom that they have had compared to a lot of other countries. They're actually the 35th biggest complete economy in the whole world. And just amazing. I mean, they've got 7.5 million people right now, roughly. So within 100,000 of that anyway this year. And 25% of the developed land is reclaimed out of the ocean because they don't have enough space, enough flat usable space, and about 6% of their entire region, territory, Hong Kong territory, is reclaimed out of the ocean. And they've got this massive skyscrapers all over the developed part because they're trying to make use of every little piece of land. And there is a law right now, well, the law that was set up in the talks when it was being handed over from Great Britain, that did not allow extradition of people charged with a crime from Hong Kong into mainland China, People's Republic of China, because the government is, you know, very well known for doing some unpleasant things, like I just mentioned about the organ harvesting. And we had a guy on the Lost Arts Radio named Mitchell Berger, and he talked about it firsthand. He was in Vietnam when he was on the show, and he has a lot of direct experience with that whole thing, especially with the Falun Gong and yoga practitioners and people trying to be peaceful and conscious. That's a big threat as far as the government's concerned, and they pull them off the street and harvest their organs and kill them, and not a good situation. So when the British arranged the what they would have for Hong Kong law, which is based on British common law, before they handed it over to China, they deleted, or they left out, the power of the Chinese mainland government to extradite people charged with a crime. You know, not people who necessarily did a crime, but you could just be charged with a crime anytime, and you might not even know anything about it. So there was no extradition allowed in the system. Now, what happens after 2047? I don't know, that could be anything. But for the moment, that was left out. So now, yeah, the government in Hong Kong is a parliamentary system based on British common law. But the CEO over the whole thing is a person selected by a election committee, not elected. They're just selected by the committee. And the committee reports to the mainland Chinese government. Kind of interesting. And that person, who's a lady right now, I don't know if I have her her name here, I'll look for it, but they are making amendments to the law that has no extradition to China, and they just want to put in extradition. And she, remember, is responsible to the mainland government and is saying, we need to put in extradition, because what if there's some terrible criminal, right? And the Chinese government knows about it, and they run away to Hong Kong after killing everybody. Obviously, the good people in the Chinese government need to be able to drag them out and do whatever to them that they want in mainland China. So she, the CEO, I'm sorry I didn't have her name written down here, I may remember it. She's saying, okay, we're going to change this, we're making amendments. And that bill is, I guess, in Parliament right now being discussed. So the people in Hong Kong are not real happy about that, because they understand the government and a little bit about this monolithic conspiracy that we talked about, and that any of them could just be charged with anything at any time, and the Chinese government could say, we want this person or these people because they're really bad people and they did these crimes and we're going to take care of it. And the only person who decides whether it's okay that they drag this person out of Hong Kong into the Chinese court system is the CEO, that one person who is responsible to mainland China. So the point is that anybody could be called a fugitive, as you know, any of us. And so there's these massive protests happening in Hong Kong right now. The streets are just full of people, and they seem to be really serious. And one kind of interesting thing is they're waving American flags saying, basically, you know, we want freedom like America's supposed to have anyway. It's not completely what's really going on in America, but the idea is there, and they're hoping to get rid of that proposed bill, and we'll see what happens. But this massive amount of troops and military hardware, tanks, troop carriers, and everything are massing, tens of thousands of them. Remember, there's 7.5 million people in Hong Kong. It's very dense, densely populated. And they want to keep their as much of their freedom as they can, called the Basic Law, at least until 2047, when the 50-year agreement is over. After that, whatever the Chinese mainland government decides to do is what's going to happen. So the troops are massing, and people are thinking it might be another Tiananmen Square event where they just slaughter a whole bunch of people and deal with the situation that way, and we'll find out. That's the basic situation there. So, the chief executive officer's name right now in the government is Carrie Lam, L-A-M. And it's, as I said, it's not elected. It's chosen by the election committee, which is controlled by mainland China. So Carrie Lam claims that the Beijing government had nothing to do with this amendments to the bill. It's just something that she wants to do because it's obviously needed for justice and all that. And she would be the one with sole authority to hand over people that were wanted for extradition. And I would say, aside from this current crisis with Hong Kong, China's overt policy of total surveillance and control is just kind of one of the clearer windows into a policy that's planned for the whole world. This real conspiracy is worldwide. It's on all the levels now, from supranational agencies down to local governments and global corporations, which are partners of all these governments. One of the hallmarks, interesting that I thought when looking into this, one of the hallmarks of all of these conspiracies as they move toward complete surveillance and control is to take away any rights to firearms ownership and self-defense even. And the founders of of the United States, the USA, understood they had all kinds of flaws. Obviously, they were humans, and you know, slavery hadn't been outlawed, and all this stuff had to still be done, and a lot of things that should have been much better with the natives, who were the original people living in this land. And they had a lot of faults, the founders. But one thing they did have, what they were right about, is that if you don't have uninfringable firearms rights to and rights to defend yourself, not to go out with preemptive violence, but to defend yourself and dissuade government from going insane and becoming a tyranny and taking over, you must have firearms rights. And so right after freedom of speech, they codified that in the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And it's very important, and there's a concerted effort right now in the criminal media to make us believe that as long as firearms are out in the public and regular people can have them, those firearms are just going to create mass murders all over the place. And they make people go insane. You know, they have all these crazy ideas, and they never mention the millions of cases where firearms are used to dissuade criminals or to stop crimes or to protect people or, you know, all kinds of good things, much more than they're used for causing crime. And there's just this understood blackout in world criminal media not to talk about that stuff. But the good associations that are trying to protect firearms rights do talk about it. And so they get demonized by the media and blamed for mass shootings, which almost always are connected to psychiatric drugs. That's not discussed on the media at all, because the drug companies are pretty much the biggest sponsors of all the major channels of corporate media. But firearms ownership is critically important, probably second only to freedom of speech, and the hate speech laws are a disgrace and should never exist, obviously, once you understand how they're used. And people fall for hate speech laws because they think, wow, hate is bad. And I agree with that. I don't see hate as being useful for anything. So I'd rather see cooperation and mutual support and love and all those good, you know, aspects of consciousness worldwide. But you don't empower a government with questionable motives, which all governments have questionable motives, or corporations even, or the people that they set up as their front organizations to decide what's hate speech and then prohibit it. That's the end of your ability to communicate, and that's what is going on right now. So in the U.S. at the moment, firearms rights are under heavy attack. The media, of course, doesn't want you to realize or be conscious at all, actually, but realize specifically in this case that cities where guns are most restricted, the violent crime is the worst. And then the media says, well, because the violent crime is the worst where firearms are banned or restricted, you just have to ban them more. That must be the answer. And Mexico, for example, where there's almost total gun ban, violent crime is off the charts with the drug cartels controlling the government. And where criminals have a harder time or more delay getting hold of guns, like in London, for example, they just use knives in cars and whatever else they want to use. It doesn't make things any better. In fact, in London, without much going on with guns at all, it's as dangerous or worse than New York City now. So, you know, what this indicates is that the media is used to convince people we're safer without the right of self-defense, and this is setting people up to be controlled, surveilled, and massacred by governments, which in the 20th century, the University of Hawaii study, Hamill or something like that, I guess a professor that's not alive anymore, found out that in the 20th century, 262 million people were disarmed and murdered by their own governments outside of war. And I'm not saying to be upset about it, I'm just saying to be aware of it. And that's the reason that the founders were very intelligent to put the Second Amendment in there and say that it was the right of people in all countries, not just the U.S. So, but, you know, the media is now used for much more than just demonizing guns. The term conspiracy theorist has become widely recognized to describe crazy people who believe in some kind of malicious organization of forces working to control and harm the general population. But television, print media, big tech, social media, and search engines are working together in complete coordination. This is where the conspiracy literally etymologically means breathe together, and it just means function together. So everybody in the group cooperates, and all those forms of media are cooperating now to control what you believe. So the only defense against that is be aware of what you believe. Don't just let emotion drummed up by corporate media and government agencies and corporations create beliefs that you didn't think of yourself. Because, you know, if you're brave enough to look at your own thought patterns, what you often find is that they're not yours. And you're supposed to be too far gone to even understand what that means. So who controls the cartel of the mainstream media and mainstream media companies? And the answer is an incredibly, amazingly coordinated super cartel of global corporations, including banks, which are all organized under BIS in Switzerland. And the very complex agenda, which it is extremely complex. I mean, it's very admirable how they've organized it so well, with a kind of a pyramid-shaped power structure in business terms, from international bosses working toward something that has been on their mind of tyrants for thousands of years, and they think they're close to achieving it now. The complex agenda boils down to total control of thoughts and emotions, because, you know, emotions overrule logic every time. There are ways around that, but it's true of the general public, and it's true of what the media is portraying. So removing the problem of dissent, while that's their goal, is to remove the problem of dissent until the agenda of total destruction is complete, at which point there won't be anybody to dissent. I'm not saying this will happen. I'm saying that's their plan. All of it, the completion of that plan, depends on people falling for the mind control, selling out their ethics. In fact, a lot of people don't even know what ethics are anymore. In business, they typically figure anything you can get away with, or like with the drug companies, anything where the fine is a lot less than the profit, great, that's ethics. And no, ethics really isn't that. And ethics is not even a memorized code of conduct from a book or a scripture or anything. Ethics is deeper. What about before the book was written? Were there no ethics? No, the same ethics existed. And it's all based down to understanding that other people are reflections of you, and everyone needs to respect each other and support and have compassion for everybody else. That's where ethics comes from. And the deeper understanding that when you hurt someone, you literally hurt yourself. And all the great teachers have said that. None of them have encouraged hurting anybody. Self-defense is okay, but nothing else. So completion of the agenda of destruction depends on people falling for the mind control and never remembering what ethics was, even thinking that it's from a scripture. That's not the origin. For thousands or millions of years before scriptures, ethics were not gone. The same ones were there, and they come out of the structure of creation. They're, you know, that everything was made from one source, and that's the connection of everybody to each other. That's the origin of ethics. So remember, at the beginning of the program today, I said there were three events this week that were important, two that showed the problem and the extent of what you're not supposed to believe in for the conspiracy, and one that was a hint of a solution. So we don't end up saying, well, everything's hopeless, all this bad stuff is happening, everything's surveilled, which it is. This broadcast is monitored very carefully, and so is all of your other communication on your phones and faxes, and probably even face-to-face communication from satellite and 50 years more advanced technology than we know about. But even with that, not everything is bad, and the positive side of the equation is much bigger than the negative one. It's just, it's not as obvious to see. Take some work on your part. So the third event, which we'll talk about quickly because we're getting to the end of our time here, is about two whistleblowers deciding to go public. Senior engineers in high-paying positions at Google, one of the biggest search engine in the world. It's got like 90% of all the searches. And it's not, initially it seemed to be just for searching, and it was great. It was so convenient, and it opened up huge areas of knowledge that nobody had at their fingertips before. But then you see why it was funded by the people that started it, because it was meant as a surveillance, master surveillance tool, and not just surveillance, but control. Because if you can control the search results of millions and millions of people looking for information and trying to learn what's true, and you decide what answers come up to show them the truth, you can control thinking and beliefs worldwide. That's what the search engine is about. But these two engineers that are the bright spot in the news this week, one of the big ones anyway, decided that their consciences were more important than money. And that was a big deal, because they were making, you know, one of them, I know for sure, over $250,000 a year. The other one probably similar. And they decided to risk their whole lives, which are now being attacked for termination by Google, sending the police after them and doing, you know, they're the best setup of anybody to do dirty tricks against you and ruin your life. And that's what they've started to do now. Whether the U.S. Congress and president will do anything to protect these heroes is unknown. At least I don't know yet. But they expose that Google's controlling the worldview of its users by changing the search results and censoring what people put up on YouTube, which is owned by Google. And they're moving toward full control of all the elections. They tried in 2016, but they intend to totally dominate it in 2020. And as we've said from experts in our last broadcast, they can easily move 20 million votes just by sending out selective go vote notices only to one side, which is what they're planning to do. And they're blacklisting content providers, which in hearings before Congress they promised that they weren't doing, but the whistleblowers exposed the documents that prove it says blacklist right on the blacklist. I mean, it's pretty hard to argue against. And so obviously Google wants these guys dead, but the documents have already been given to the Department of Justice, which was a good idea. Now it depends on whether the Attorney General will do his job, which means if he's doing his job, I mean, there's some major things he needs to do, like right now. Delays and taking a long time to do this stuff is not brilliant. So one of the engineers provided documents, I think about 900 pages, to prove everything that they said. There's no question. These are insider documents that the search engine company itself and its parent said, look, this is what we're planning to do. It's just, there's no argument. So now the U.S. government is sitting on all the proof they need that could change the course of world history for the better. But how many of them are corrupt and how many of them are good? That's really what it comes down to. And it's not just the U.S. government that could do this. Any other government that is not in the control of criminals could help with this and bring in a renaissance of a whole new situation. But the U.S. government specifically is sitting on proof that the search engine company wanted to overthrow the country, and that that was in progress and in the final station, final stages. And the question is, are they going to do anything? Because even the president that has said he's going to do a lot of good things has either been blocked or for some reason not been able to do a lot of what he said. The question is, are the officials too far gone? Are they too controlled by blackmail and bribes? And will they let the last vestiges and memory of freedom go away that were the founding principles of America that all these other populist leaders around the world are taking as inspiration? Will they let that finally die, waiting for some time far in the future, if life still exists on this planet, to be born again? And I don't know. But the same question is sitting in front of the people and the governments of every country on Earth. It's not just America. Every country has exactly the same issues in different scenarios. Most of them are controlled by partnerships between governments and corporations. Now, do you know what that defines? Just look at what Mussolini called it, corporatism, but it was the partnership of governments with criminal corporations. That's defined as fascism. So these guys, crazy guys and women and just insane people wearing these black costumes, going out and beating people up or hoping to kill people or poison people or throwing horrible things on people and shutting down public events and things like that. They think they're fighting fascism. They're totally out to lunch. I mean, they're only fighting free speech and freedom of assembly. Fascism is cooperation in crime between government and corporations. And that's rampant and controls the whole world right now. It's run by people who have sold out to evil. And the rulers up to this point think that their final victory and destruction of humanity and actually destruction of all life on the planet is close to completion. And compared to where they've been in the past, maybe it is close. It's really just one unknown that's going to determine the end of this adventure. And that's, can they keep you unconscious? If you're watching this as a monitor of the show, can they keep you working for evil, thinking that that's a good idea to do that? If you're one of our listeners, can they keep you well-intentioned but not in touch with the power that you have, which is not your external activities, it's your internal experience on another level entirely of who you are. You're in a physical suit that's really amazing and conscious and connected to a mind and everything, but you're above those things. You're beyond description. And if you get back in touch with that while you're still here, not waiting till you die and see what happens after that, but doing it now and learn about how to do that, then the game of the global rulers is over and the outcome will be a lot better than what they have in mind. But if they can keep you lost in hate and fear and feeling weak and helpless and discouraged and just mad all the time and want to go and destroy the bad guys, and that brings you right down to their frequency. And it puts you in a straitjacket that you don't even see. If they can manage that by the misinformation on all the media and the frequencies that they're using now that were exposed by Brian Coffran, who was an employee who they destroyed quickly, but he was working for one of these private security companies that exposed that they were working on how to control millions of people at a time with frequencies that Barry Troyer had analyzed for war use. And they are doing that in every city around the world now, certainly every city in America. If they can keep us under that kind of control, then they can exterminate life on Earth, which is their plan. It's not just population reduction, it's population extermination and all life too. And they believe and hope that they can succeed, but the two Google engineers don't think so. And I got to talk really fast now because we're almost out of time. Their message applies directly to you personally, not the whole audience, you. And wherever you are, whoever you are, the message says, become aware of your programming that you think is your own thoughts, and it's not. You think it's your own emotions, fear and hate and all these things. This is the real way to get rid of hate, not censorship. Become aware of it. Find beliefs that you never question that really aren't yours. Question everything you find that's true. Find what's true and abandon fear completely. It's a prison. It's good for nothing. Hate and fear are good for absolutely nothing. In fact, to be at your best, you don't even need intense anger. That's totally unnecessary. There's strength that you don't know about yet, unless you're one of the few who's on the way to that. And find out who you are. Start with your body. It's the easiest place. You can see it. You can work with it. You can experiment with it. You can be a scientist in the lab of your physical body. Real health information is forbidden. That's one of the taboos right now, but you can find it. It does exist. Dump your addictions. They hurt you. They might seem fun if you're not very conscious, but they always make you feel worse than you started out. And people just, they get in this dull mentality of saying, more addiction, and they feel worse and worse and worse, and they end up totally destroyed. Dump that stuff. It's garbage. Find out what yours are and get rid of them. You don't need force. Just let them go. And replace them with new habits that are good for you, and find out you're not weak and helpless, and that was never true. Even one person starting out who really does this work affects the whole world in a literal fashion. This is not a belief system, but the only way you can know that is to experience it. So start with health, energy, clarity of mind, new emotions. It's all in your hands. And then go deeper into the inner tools and see what's possible. If you want private help with that, I sometimes do some private sessions, counseling sessions, and if you want to find out about what that is, richard@lostartsradio.com. Otherwise, we have a private group that's not censored. It's on a private platform of people working on this kind of thing directly who are brave enough to start working on themselves and see what's really possible. That's for real. And you can, the access to that is at planetaryhealingclub.com. planetaryhealingclub.com. And other than that, I think I finished almost everything. We're out of time. Sunday show tomorrow, Paul Connett, incredible guy who's probably one of the top world leaders on the whole fluoride issue. I'm still trying to get out some more videos during the week. I just got swamped this week and couldn't do it, but hopefully this coming week that'll happen. We've got a Subscribestar account if you feel like helping us stay on the air or help our project go on, which is aimed at building a physical school, but it takes a lot of money and we don't have it. So if you want to support what we're doing, at least keep us on the air, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio is a place that you can help us if you want to. I think that's about it. Planetary Healing Club meets in 1 hour, planetaryhealingclub.com, and otherwise, I hope you have a great rest of the weekend. Really an honor to visit with you for a short time. And we'll see you next week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.